Got a question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert and Mary and our show team anytime on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or LinkedIn at RM World Travel. Now, back to award-winning RM World Travel.
As we cruise right along, everyone, thanks for being part of today's broadcast. For our B-Block Showcase segment of the program, show friend Richard Abalafia is returning to talk all things from the aviation sector of travel with us, and we're sponsored by the world's leading cruise lines.
If you enjoy cruising and you're eager to cruise again, with all the deals being offered right now, we do encourage you to stay connected with all the brands of Carnival Corporation at worldsleadingcruiselines.com. They offer cruise options for all types of travelers.
Folks, their brands include Princess, Seabourn, Holland America, Cunard, Carnival, P&O, Aida, and Costa. Whether it's travel this year or frankly whenever you feel cruising may be right, check out worldsleadingcruiselines.com for the latest offers. You'll also find individual brand links at rmworldtravel.com. Look under sponsors.
All right, I know we've added a number of new stations to our national network. Our longtime listeners will know our next guest well, but for those of you new to the show, Richard Abalafia is a show friend dating back to 2017. He's the managing director of Aerodynamic Advisory and a respected voice in the aviation world. He's here on that show hotline now.
He is. Richard, what's the good word? Welcome back to America's number one travel radio show.
It's a pleasure to be here, Robert. Thanks for having me on.
Well, thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have you aboard with us. I want to get right into this with you. You know, the industry has been waiting on the outcome of the Spirit JetBlue Frontier saga. It dates back all the way to February. You know, and after multiple delays in the shareholder vote, which we kind of knew what was coming, we finally have clarity this week, or so we hope, as the Spirit shareholders spoke. And they said, you know what, we want to marry JetBlue for $3.8 billion. Any thoughts?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be interesting. Obviously, money spoke, and as reflected in shareholder desires, it's going to be a really interesting clash of cultures, or perhaps just a fairly straightforward, complete shifting of cultures, because, of course, Spirit was ultra low cost, absolutely no frills, and JetBlue has been priding itself on kind of a premium low cost service for many years now. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all works out.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you
Lots
think, though, I mean, it's going to be interesting besides that, just to see whether or not they're going to have to divest assets and routes, whether the Biden administration, they're not expected to be friendly towards this, and they're saying it may not even close till the end of 2023 or Q1 2024.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, this administration is not particularly friendly to mergers and acquisitions, so we don't know what's going to be required. You know, obviously, there are a few new start airlines out there, which might help make the case that consolidation is kind of necessary when barriers to entry seem to have come down a bit in the business. But we'll have to wait and see what the regulators decide.
Richard, I want to talk to you a little bit about the Farnborough International Air Show. You were just there recently. And for context for our listeners, that's a very popular air show. It's just outside of London. We heard some mixed reactions to this year's event, although it looks like Boeing put in a decent number of orders. But since you were there, let's get your top takeaways that you'd like to report to all of us.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad you asked because a lot of people did have sort of mixed emotions. Orders weren't quite what they have been at this stage in the recovery in previous major air shows. But I've been quick to say, look, backlogs are huge, you know, well over 10,000 jets. And, you know, we had had this conversation 2 years ago, and I had said, well, in 2 years after the pandemic begins, the biggest problem we're going to have as an industry is building jets that the market really wants. You'd have regarded me as crazy. I'd have thought myself crazy. But there we were. The number one mood of the show is, hey, how do we get supply chains unraveled so we can get on with ramping up production of the jets that the market wants? That seems like a really good problem to have when you look at everything in perspective.
Yeah, one would
think.
Right,
and I would think I did see something about Airbus because they didn't make as many orders as they normally do. Was that because of supply chain issues?
Yeah, very much so. And, you know, you look at the numbers, they announced that by next year they're going to go to 65 single-aisle jets per month. Far and away a record, with the aspiration to get to 75 per month in 2025. Again, way into record territory. It really does come down to that supply chain concern. Another issue, of course, is that in these air shows, very often it's the lessors, the banks, the financiers that place a lot of the orders. And right now they're kind of still licking their wounds, repairing their balance sheets, not just because of the pandemic and, of course, the downturn associated with that pandemic, but also because of the Russia situation and losing about 500 jet confiscation by the Russian government. So they were bound to be a bit muted in their order activity. But overall, the mood was pretty darn optimistic.
Good. That's good.
So I want to get your thoughts on this. You know, during our live broadcast 2 weeks ago, before Mary and I left for the big Let's Go America Tour Atlanta as part of our Travel News Roundtable, I brought up the Biden administration's kind of refusal to consider allowing pilots to fly until 67 years of age. You know, currently they have to retire by age 65. And I love your thoughts on this, because when the president is basically 80, the Speaker of the House is 83, or will be, it doesn't make any sense to me, Richard. I mean, I don't know what the difference is if a pilot is certified and flying at age 65 or age 66 or 67. I could understand if it was 70, 72, 75. I get that. It certainly would provide some relief to the pilot shortages we're seeing out there and help the industry navigate the, you know, these challenging times better. Thoughts on this?
Yeah, I completely agree. You know, obviously it should be on a case-by-case basis. If a pilot is proficient and able to pass the test at 65, it seems to me that very often they'd be in the sweet spot of experience and whatever else. So why not? But this problem, not just the administration, I wish this administration would change, but it's the previous ones too. And we appear to be stuck for a variety of reasons with this fairly arbitrary age limit.
Yeah, it makes absolutely no sense. No. And sometimes, you know, government common sense is not very common.
I'm not an expert in this, but they do have them get tested every 6 months.
Yeah.
So what would be the difference if you're getting tested every 6 months at 65 or 66? All right. So I want to go back to Boeing for a second. The struggles that Boeing has had with the 737 MAX and currently the 787 are well known, but I'm curious, Richard, if you have any insights into the status of the new 777X, there was a lot of fanfare initially about the new iteration of this jet that's coming, but it's also been hit with a number of delays. What are you seeing or hearing regarding this particular jet taking flight at some point?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I mean, on the one hand, it is going to be, as soon as the 380 and 74 exit production, the biggest jetliner in production. On the other hand, the delays have been agonizing, and it could be 5 years late when it enters service in 2025, we hope. You know, as you might expect, because of the current glut of wide-body jets, orders have been a bit muted, but enough to be encouraged at this stage of the program. The problem is that Boeing CEO Dave Calhoun gave an interview at Aviation Week just before the show, and he refused to take anything off the table. People have said, hey, this thing could be canceled, right? And he didn't say, oh, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. No, we're big believers. In other words, a lot of it comes down to showing confidence, which I think they need to do more of at Boeing, because fundamentally, this is a really good jet. It's going to be popular one day. They just have to get through the clouds.
Yeah, I think it's very important for their future as well. So we will talk about business travel a little bit, Richard, because I always like to pick your brain when you're on the show with us from your position as, you know, as a top aviation analyst. So business travel is still off out there. Perhaps it's changed for a while to come. That's to be determined, I guess. Want to know, what's your take on the health of the business aircraft sector of travel? Specifically, it could be the manufacturing side or the operator side with like Wheels Up, NetJets, Executive Jet Management, whatever. Is it rebounding well, or do you think we may see some consolidation at some point?
You know, this is a big question. Right now, things are great. I mean, really great, like above 2019 peak, great, especially for the people who provide charter and lease and fractional services, you know, like Wheels Up and whoever else, NetJets, whatever. The big question is how many of the people who've entered the private aviation space stick around when the pandemic completely goes away, when service is restored, when things are less crazy at airports, everything like that. And we don't know. Talking to people, the general feeling is that at least 15 or 20% of the newcomers will stick around, which still means a bigger market. But everyone's reluctant to raise production rates and move forward on the basis of optimism. And if they're left with overcapacity, you know, that means they'll have to consolidate. Like you say, that's going to be a big problem. But right now, things are just great.
All right. So we're about to run out of time. We only have about 50 seconds left. I would love just a hot take if you think that these issues that the airlines are having are going to continue through the holidays.
With cancellations.
With cancellations and delays.
Well, that's the million-dollar question. You know, I don't want to wish ill upon the rest of the economy, far from it. But it could be that maybe the signs of softening that we're seeing in other economic sectors means that there'll be a bit more labor freed up to go to aviation, because that's a real problem here, people. Yeah. Getting enough people and training them, getting them in
place. Ultimately, that is what the JetBlue Spirit merger is, because they want the planes and the pilots.
They want the pilots, yeah.
so much of it does come down to people, crew. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely right. So it could be that maybe a little bit of the heat coming off the rest of the economy will ultimately be good. Again, not wishing ill for the rest of the economy.
Right.
But maybe that'll provide us with just a little bit of relief in terms of the labor availability.
We shall see on that. So, all right. Well, listen, Richard, thank you very much for today's check-in. You are always welcome here, as you know. One thing for certain in the travel world, the aviation sector, it's never a dull one. All right. So enjoy the rest of the weekend.
You do the same. Great to be on. Thanks so much.
Take care, as always. Thank you.
Okay. Bye, Robert and Mary. Cheers.
All right. One thing we didn't get into, Richard, there's also right now a part shortage. So that's another thing that's going to be impacting things. As we step aside for some sponsor messages, we would enjoy hearing your thoughts on the JetBlue Spirit merger. You can send them to us using the Contact Us tab on our website. Don't forget, we archive every hour of every program at rmworldtravel.com as well. 80% of the show is still to come today. Up next, Eddie's going to patch in Rudy for the first time today. RJ's also coming back with the open road for the D block. Mary and I are going to be taking you to Broadway for an update on the recovery. And then there's still the big hour two also ahead. We'll be right back.
Today's edition of RM World Travel will be right back, and you can always stay connected with the program at rmworldtravel.com.